I wrote on the board, greater is he that is in you. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me about a subject for a little bit this week. And the Lord is so much greater than the spirits of the world, than the devil, than anything that we can come against. And on the other hand, Satan is a very powerful and wily foe. And so I want to give what I feel like the Lord has given me, a little two-part message this morning, that on one hand, folks, God is greater that is in us, much greater. There isn't any comparison, but we better watch out at the same time. And so I want to read a little story. And if you'll bear with me a little bit, because I want to read this story in the Old Testament this morning, in 1 Kings, the 13th chapter, starting with the first verse. 1 Kings 13. Solomon had greatly displeased the Lord after so many years that he had served the Lord and been faithful and blessed in so many ways. When you read the stories of what God did for him, you read the riches that God gave him, because the Lord told him, not only am I going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you riches. And what was it? He said he would give him all these things that he was going to give him. And the Lord did bless Solomon in that way. But Solomon let his heart go out after women and after other gods even, and when God had told him so much not to do that. And so the Lord pronounced upon his posterity that his line would not continue to reign over all of Israel. They could have the tribe of Judah. And the Lord had, by a prophet, had declared that Jeroboam was going to be king over 10 tribes. And so Jeroboam was just, he wasn't of the royal seed and all of that. Well, this Solomon evidently found out about it and made him very upset, very angry. And so we see that in this context, we're going to read this story. Then Jeroboam became king over 10 tribes. And he was afraid that the people would be going up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And then they would go back to Rehoboam. They would go back to that tribe and he would lose his kingdom. And God had told Jeroboam, if you'll serve me and keep my commandments, I'll make you a house like I made for the house of David. I'll make you a house like that. What a great promise there was. But instead, Jeroboam used this thinker up here, and he made him two golden calves, and he set one, I believe, in Dan and one in Bethel. And he said, for the people, you come up here and worship. And so they came up and worshiped those golden calves. And we see that turned the Lord from what he said he would do if he would keep his commandments. He would make him a house like unto the house of David. And so I want to read this story. The Lord sent a prophet to Jeroboam while he was worshiping in one of these houses. So we'll start there with 1 Kings 13 and 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried, this man of God, he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said. Now, I want us to take note of a few things here. This says there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord. You know, that's different than going on your own auspices. That's different than just deciding to do something or somebody putting you up to something. He says he came by the word of the Lord. And so God was with that. I want us to keep in mind this prophet that came by the word of the Lord. And it says, then he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it to him again. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. Now, you know, we look at this little story, and this prophet prophesied of something that was going to happen when somebody named Josiah was going to be king. That was a long time after this. I want to think it was several hundred years. But, you know, always they watched and tried to protect themselves from this Josiah. But he came, according to the word of the Lord. And so this man was a prophet of the Lord. The words he spoke were not men's words. They were words from the Lord. It's very different to have men's words and words from the Lord. I want us to think about that this morning. That God's words are really different than man's words. And this prophet knew the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord had been given to him. And he gave this. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now, do we get the picture there? After this had happened, and after the king had stretched out his arm, you hold that man, get that man. You know, and then his arm stuck, and he couldn't bring it back in. And then the man prayed for him, and the Lord healed his arm. And then he said, come home with me. And we just read here, he said, if you gave me half of your house, I wouldn't come home with you, because the word of the Lord told me not to do that. And not to, let's see, what did it say? I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Because see, the Lord had told him, don't return by the same way that you went either. He gave him specific instructions by the word of the Lord. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to the father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass that as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto that prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall come not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. Now, are we getting the story? I think so. Are we? And here was this prophet, and the word of the Lord then came upon him and pronounced to judgment upon this fella. You didn't come. You're not going to be buried with your fathers because you didn't obey the word of the Lord. You obeyed the word of one who was lying to you. I want us to think this morning about how great the work of the Lord was in this man's life. It was an amazing thing. He came down there and the Lord told him, you go down there and you speak to this altar and you cry against it. And he did, and he prophesied, and it came to pass several hundred years later. And we see this man coming out then and lying to this prophet, to this one whom the word of the Lord had appeared to, and he was deceived by it. I have to think there was probably some flesh involved. I'm guessing that this man spoke to him in such a way. He was probably hungry. And he was probably thirsty. And he was probably a little desirous of that praise or whatever. And you know what? Something made him turn aside from what God had told him to do. I want us to think this morning about the word of the Lord. This Bible is the word of the Lord, isn't it? The revealed word to our hearts is the word of the Lord, isn't it? That's something from God. Now, I want us to think this morning about this kind of scenario in our life. Folks, we live in a world where all around us are people of every kind of idea and belief and imagination of the heart. Evil imagination of the heart. I will tell you, I believe we're going to have to be careful, folks. This sly devil is still around. The one that told Eve, after she knew what God said, she had met God. She had heard His voice. She had walked with Him. And there He comes and says, and she said, in the day that I ate thereof, He told me I'm going to die. Oh, you won't die. You surely won't die. That's nonsense. And I don't know what all the conversation was. We have a little snippet of it, don't we? And the devil just plainly said, God's telling you a lie. It's not going to happen that way. You know, this morning, I want to challenge us. Folks, I know the Lord gave this to me, so I'm just going to give you what He gave me. The word of the Lord, folks, will take us to heaven. The words of the Lord revealed upon the tables of our heart will clean up our life and get us there. It'll do that for us. But all around us, everywhere, we find every kind and stripe and way and belief. And I'm glad I wasn't born somewhere out there where I had to come from nothing. I've met people that has searched all their life, searched for many years, finding a little bit more truth here, then moving over there and finding a little more truth, and moving and finding a little more truth. I have met a number of people like that. Do you know this morning what we have in the word of the Lord and what we have had spoken to us by the word of the Lord is of tremendous value today. And I hope we take it for that. And don't let the devil lie to us as he did to Eve, as he did to this prophet. This prophet had one that was greater than the one that was in the world. When the enemy tried to attack him, his arm stuck out. He couldn't do any more. That was it. Much greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But I'll tell you, we better listen to the one that speaks those words of life. And we better not be entangled and in conversation with this one that deceives and lies. That's what happened to Eve. She got into a conversation with one that she knew was opposed to God. She knew it. And do you know that he deceived her? The same thing happened with this man. He knew what God had said. When we know and while we know, let's be careful to hold those things precious that God has given to us. I want to finish reading this. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, "It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord." This is the fellow that lied to him. Oh, that's the man of God that was disobedient to the Lord. And I caused him to do it. I wonder how he felt. "Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and hath slain him, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him." Do you know this morning, I just want us to think about this whole scenario. How mightily God worked and how mighty God is in our life to deal with us. He loves to take people to heaven, folks. But I will tell you, we want to be careful of one thing. There is one out there that is set to make sure you don't make it. And we better be careful of that this morning. And so I think about a scripture in 1 John 4:1 that speaks to this whole thing. You know, Samson did the same thing. He knew better than what he did. And he went out there. He knew the Lord had told them not to go marry wives out there in the world. He went and did it anyway. Did he think? Now, he was a prophet of God. He was one whom the Lord was upon, who the Lord came upon him at various times, and he knew the power of God. And yet, because of his flesh, because of some desires, he was led away with the error of the wicked and slain. And we find in the end he lost his life over it, and he lost all of his effectiveness. So this morning, I know nobody's going to be up shouting this morning, but I will tell you, by the word of the Lord, I want to adjure us this morning that we serve the Lord by the word of the Lord, that we serve him in righteousness and in truth all the days of our life. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Listen to this. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. That's why. Beloved, don't believe every spirit, because there's a lot of false prophets gone out. And think what it is now compared to then. I have to think it's so much worse than it was then in the way. If you was the devil, wouldn't you just want to confuse everything so people wouldn't be able to? That's what he's done, isn't it? Sent out all kinds of spirits, all kinds of things. And you know what? There is a way for us to see our way through. And it's by the word of the Lord. It's by this precious word. I will tell you, when I hear and I see books written by people that I know teaches and believes that they sin more or less every day, and they do, folks, I can't get a thirst for that. I don't want to hear it. I don't know what's in there that's going to try to deceive me. I don't want to hear that testimony. Because folks, the Lord says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. I was speaking with someone last night, and you know, we were talking about some of these very things, and I already had this part of this message, a good part of it. But, you know, I would say at least 90% of the church world today believes that they must sin. They will sin. Some more, some less every day. And you talk to them, they will tell you that. Folks, I can give you probably maybe 100 scriptures in the New Testament that directly go against that. Anyway, many, I'll say it that way. Do you know this morning, when we listen to those kind of prophets, when we read their books, when we feed from their spiritual understandings, we open ourselves up. We're not better than the prophet. We're not better than Samson. We're not better than Eve that knew the Lord well and got into conversation with the devil or the devil's people. Folks, this morning, the Lord is a God of holiness. He's a God of love. He's a tender Lord, and He loves us so much, but He will not and never has allowed sin to stand in His presence. And when we do that, and when we absorb from people who you know, they purposely will tell you themselves, I live in sin, yes I do. We better run with everything we've got. Folks, we're not smarter than Eve and Samson and all those people that have gone that way. We better guard ourselves today. Where should we, then what do we do? We need to understand everything. We don't need to understand anything the devil has to offer. And if somebody's living in sin, folks, he don't have to, anything to offer us. Now, can they maybe tell us how to do our finances better? Maybe so. They might know a lot more about it. They may even know a lot about raising children and things. But folks, when it comes to spiritual life, we want to be careful that we found it on the Word of the Lord. That's what's going to stand in the end. That's what's going to get us to heaven. That's what's going to cut us free from error and make our lives something pleasing, well-pleasing unto the Lord. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us today. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We don't need the world's understandings to live for God. We need Him within us. We need to read His Word. We need to study that. We need to understand His ways, folks. We've been given a rich history full of good, godly things and people. Can we pick out some that have not been? Yeah, I'll start with Judas. He was in the Lord's inner circle. And have we had some? Yes, we have. And you center on that, folks, and miss all the other? How are we going to stand before God and say, I put aside your word. I know they were living in sin. I know they were the way they were. I know they weren't glorifying you. But they sure talked good and they did so many good things. And they did 10 times as much as we did. Their words were good. Folks, I want to tell you something. It sounded pretty good to Eve, too. Greater is He that is in you. But folks, we better get our strength from the Lord and keep it that way. That prophet knew what God said. He knew what the Lord said. Depart. Don't you go there. You don't come back this way. You don't eat there. You don't drink there. You go another way home and you keep moving. Well, you know, he didn't do that, did he? And he lost it. He lost his life over it. So this morning, I just want to encourage us, folks, I know we have a wily foe, but I want to tell you, if we'll keep ourselves centered in the Lord's will and centered in His ways and listen to His thoughts and let Him live in our heart and have worship before Him and know Him And let him be the center of our life, our affections, our thoughts, our future. And we allow that. I want to tell you, that's the way you make it to heaven. God set it up that way. Pretty simple stuff. He made it so simple that even the fool couldn't err therein. I don't think that's any better than any of us. I think all of us can go without erring, can't we? We can make it to heaven, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to come by departing from the world and the spirits of the world. And knowing, what are those spirits? Well, how are we going to know if we don't get to know the Lord? How are we going to know if we don't draw up close to Him? I will tell you, there's many spirits gone out into the world. And don't believe every spirit. And don't believe every, quote, Christian that has whatever belief they have about whatever things there is. Because there's thousands of them, I suppose. All right, so it goes on to say, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. But folks, there is something greater in God's children. They don't have to know us or me, but they have to know the Lord. And they have to depart from evil. Just want to encourage us this morning that we watch, not just in this area, but that we watch that Satan don't get an advantage on us. I thought about the scripture. It's in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, but it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his way, of his devices. Do you know what Satan's devices are? I hope we're not ignorant of them. I will tell you, almost everything, everything he does is set against the Lord. But we don't want to be ignorant of his devices. Do you know Satan harasses? He kills. He cometh to kill and to steal and to destroy. But the Lord comes to bring life, doesn't he? What a contrast. I want us to think about greater is he that is in you. But folks, where we mess up is when we stop seeking the Lord, where these fountains of life come from. And we start searching out with our own mind. You know the scripture, I had some of this, Psalms 55 and 22. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Do you know that when we in our own mind pick up our burdens and we play with them and we think about them and we try to figure them out and we work on it and we work on it until, folks, it can wear us out, can't it? And religion, what are we going to do? How are we going to know what's true? I'll tell you what's true, what the Bible says is true. Live godly and holy and know the Lord and depart from evil and the spirits of the world and all of the... And listen to the Lord, and you'll make it in safely. But it says, cast thy burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I want to tell you why I'm reading this morning. Do you know that when we take things into our own hands, we are on a very dangerous path? When we decide to depart from what the Lord says, cast your burden on the Lord. We decide we need to get our own revenge. Have you ever talked to somebody like that? I want to get saved, but I've got a score to even up first. I've been told that. Do you know that there's a lot of things in life that we want to take into our own hands? And it's just human. Folks, the scriptures tell us, cast your burden on the Lord. You know, when we start taking it into our own hands, when we start trying to figure something out, and we labor until our mind is sore, you know what the problem is? We're in the wrong area. Because the word of the Lord comes by revelation. We seek the Lord. Okay? We seek the Lord. And the Lord reveals to us his ways. That's where our battle wants to be. More than hashing it over. Well, I've thought of this 1,000 times. Do you know, I mean, I know we need to use our minds, but folks, there comes a point where it becomes a burden. And that we want to cast on the Lord. Lord, I don't know, I don't understand. But one thing I do know is I want to know you. And I want to cast my burden on you. And I want to seek you for divine revelation. That's what God loves to give. And when he gives the word of the Lord, this man went down there and he wasn't doing a guessing game. He knew exactly what he was doing and he knew where he was going. And he knew what he needed to do when he got done. He needed to go home and not eat or drink in that place and not go home the same way that he came. He knew all of that. Well, you know, this morning, the Lord wants us to know some things. But it comes by divine revelation. It doesn't come from us picking up 25 religions and studying them all until we figure it out. Because I will almost promise you, you will be confused and deceived before you're done. There will be too much there for you to process. I know that we need to understand. I'm not afraid to talk with people that disagree. That's okay, because I know the word of the Lord, folks. You know, the Lord wants us to know this word. He wants it to live within our heart. And then we can know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Then the Lord sends us out, folks, to talk to people, to deal with people, to work with people that are of all persuasions and all of those things. Sure he does. But it's because there's something greater in here. We don't find it by looking in all these places until we're so royally confused. There isn't any straight path for us to follow. We don't know. We don't understand. Let the Lord reveal himself to us. It comes by revelation this morning. And so I encourage us to know the Lord and to know his words. We are of God. He that heareth, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error because there's more to it than just a mind thing. There's more to it than figuring things out. Let's seek the Lord, folks, until we know that our sins are forgiven. Until we know that we have a love and a longing for righteousness. Until our life gets put in that vein. Until the Lord begins to work with us. Search for him. Oh yes, by revelation it comes. He asked Peter, didn't he? Who do you say that I am? All these people say, you know, one says he's a prophet, another says he's somebody else, John the Baptist, all these things. But who do you say, Peter? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Our Father, the Lord revealed it. God revealed this to you, Peter. You have something more. And so this morning, I know we live in a confusing world. Don't get out there and let the world confuse you. 90%, I'm guessing, just a guess, or more, believes right off that you can't live holy. Folks, I don't want to get my spiritual understandings from those people. We better be careful of what we do. When I look and I see what those people look like, and I know they don't look anything like what God commands in his word, folks, I have a hard time wanting to hear that. I just have a really hard time wanting to hear that. And so this morning, let's love righteousness. Let's love truth. Let's love the word of the Lord. Lord, reveal yourself, and I'll do anything that I must do, no matter what, if you'll reveal it to me. Isn't that wonderful this morning? That's the way we get to heaven, folks. That's when God becomes greater in you than he that is in the world. I am amazed at the power of Satan to persuade and to cause people to believe things that are not true. And I'm amazed at the power of the flesh when it gets involved and it starts wanting a little something. Then all of a sudden, whatever becomes okay. If I want to get married again and I know I can't do that and I know I'm in a wrong situation, the flesh gets involved, folks. It blinds everything. We have to be careful because Satan working with our flesh is a powerful thing. That's what he did to the Lord Jesus when he was in the desert. He was at his weakest point, and Satan is no gentleman. He doesn't respect anyone, and he doesn't respect you because you are weak or confused. He tries to take advantage of that situation. And that's why I say we must look away from everything else and look to the Lord. Let him begin to reveal to us his word and his ways. Let him teach us his thoughts. In 1 Peter 5 and 8, we have another little place. I believe the Lord is not only greater, folks. These apostles went out. They went out to the darkest places of the earth. And they carried the truth and the gospel in the face of people that hated them for it. And eventually killed almost every one of them for it. But they went out anyway in boldness with the grace of God. They went out and took it, and it changed the world. That's what the Lord is looking for in you and me. He needs a few people that the Word of God begins to burn in their hearts and lives. Folks, let's open ourselves up to the Lord. I appreciate so much what the Lord does in every life here. But I want to tell you something. Let's just open ourselves a little more. Lord, burn your spirit into my life. Let me become a flame that makes a difference in this world. If 12 men can go out, and of course there were many others, and change the world, starting from total idol worship and all of those things and all of the evil that was in the world, and it can change like that, Lord, I know that you're greater. A lot greater, in fact. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Do you know our brethren in the world? Everybody here, folks, everybody is in the same situation. We're people and we need the Lord. But he is there. So I want to encourage us this morning. Let him be greater in your life. Let him be enough greater that you can go out there and tread on scorpions and all those things. I'm not talking physical. Whatever comes against us, whatever spirits come, that we can resist that and come to the Lord. You know, I think about another little thought here in Philippians 4 and 6. Now, many of you know exactly what that says. But listen to the words of wisdom here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Do you know that talking about being careful means don't be all anxious, uptight, and excited? Because we serve one that's greater, a lot greater. And he said, you know, when we come to the Lord, settle ourselves down a little bit. And by prayer and supplication to the Lord, knowing he has the power to change anything. I know I may be tested on these things, folks, but I want to tell you, I believe in God this way. I believe he is who he is. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure and lovely and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I need that myself. I'm going to admit to you. Lord, help us today to keep our minds. Because when we let our minds start rolling with whatever it is that's bothering us, and we take God out of that picture to a certain degree, it's not long until we're in trouble. We're thinking our own thoughts. We're finding our own solutions that are not God's thoughts and not God's solutions this morning. So if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I want to mention this song here. I don't have this probably exact, okay? This is just by my wife's good memory. She somehow remembers songs in a way that I can't. But when old Satan's roaring, bringing doubts and fears and the storms of trial thunder in my ears, I look to my Savior. His face I can see, for I know Jesus is a refuge. And I know Jesus is a hiding place for me. Christian, put your future in the Savior's hands. He will fight your battles. He will help you stand. And when you are weary, He will carry you. For I know Jesus is a refuge. And I know Jesus is a hiding place for me. When I'm afflicted, constantly in pain, all my prayers and crying seem to be in vain, I look to my Savior. His face I can see, for I know Jesus is a refuge for me. Thank the Lord this morning, folks. Jesus is a refuge for us. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And the Scripture says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Oh, what a great contrast it is between that idea of being led away and the idea of greater is He that is in you. Feeding off of His words. Feeding off of His truth. Having divine revelations in our life and in our soul and our spirit. Folks, there is a safe way to heaven. And there is a way also that is full of error. It's on every hand. We walk up that pathway that Pilgrim wrote about, that John Bunyan wrote about. And we walk up that pathway. And on every side, on every hand, we find all kinds of things. We're in a world today. I believe it's a lot worse than it was. And folks, the Lord wants us to have a clear path, some understanding, some revelations of the Lord in our life. It'll take us through. It'll give us. Look at the promises of God instead of the problems. Look at what God has given. When we, and I know all these scriptures are varied in different ways, but when we, for any reason, get our eyes off of the Lord, and we start thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking, all of this stuff, folks, we're going in the wrong direction. When the Lord speaks, He reveals. It reveals to our heart. Let's search for Him. Seek His face. Seek His will only. And I believe we'll get to heaven that way. Search His word. Search to be pure, godly, and holy. Search to follow the Lord with all of our heart. And folks, one day, if we'll be faithful, those doors will open to heaven. And we'll go in those golden gates. Thank the Lord this morning.